Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 81, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden with the Duck Kirk Bowles, tripling our pleasure today. Brian Davis in the building to talk all things University of Tejas. Let's get to Coach Mensa, dog. Let's not even mess around. We got Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com coming up. Let's start out with the heavy lifting. 6-6.
Ooh.
Me and you both had him at 8-4 in the preseason.
Correct.
The Duck had him at 9-3.
Now, why do you have to go there?
And Danny Davis had him at 7-5. And one of our colleagues, forgot his name, Chip Brown, I think, 12-1. That didn't work out either. So. What's going on? First of all, I read the paper this morning.
Ooh,
Brian Davis's weekly mailbag.
Fans are unhappy.
Fans are not happy, Brian. Surely there was some good news in that mailbag. I sure didn't see any.
No, there wasn't. And the thing about it is that this week's mailbag was twice the size of it normally is because it was just too much. I mean, I wrote this and I really do believe it, guys. I think that the Texas fan base is coming up on a breaking point, possibly.
Really?
Because think about this. This program is now 8 seasons into mediocrity, right? I mean, we're a long way away from the fifth play of the Alabama game. And it's a program that's, four games over 500, since the start of the 2010 season.
Unbelievable.
That defines mediocrity. And it's the way that they get there is the most heartbreaking thing. If you're a Texas fan, I tweeted earlier this week, if you bought tickets when Charlie Strong was hired on the 50-yard line, you spent for two seats plus donations, you've spent $32,200 to watch this program go 13-11 at home the last 4 years. I mean, that all of this catches up with the program at some point from a fan base perspective. You cannot ask these fans year after year after year to come spend tens of thousands of dollars and not give them anything in return.
Okay, so in 3 or 4 sentences, what went wrong this year?
3 or 4? We could do 3 or 4 podcasts on what went wrong.
Wow.
This year.
You just can't simplify it then.
You can't simplify it.
You don't think
it.
There's a common denominator in what went wrong?
Of course.
Well, I tell you what, if I could get one thing, and if you could bestow one thing on Texas, I would like to see how this year would have gone if both Bushel and Ellinger had remained healthy. If you had said, okay, we're going to give you a healthy quarterback, Tom, all the way through, but you're still going to have to put up with all the offensive line injuries. You're going to lose Orlando Pace. You're going to lose Gronk, right, out wide. Okay.
Orlando Pace, a.k.a. Elijah Rodriguez.
Elijah Rodriguez, right? So, but you're
Anthony
still going
to put, Munoz.
Yeah, they lost Anthony Munoz too, right? So, but a healthy quarterback, I would have liked to seen – because I think that might have made a difference. Him having to rotate quarterbacks,
sure.
I thought probably hurt.
Maybe one or two wins at the most. Mediocrity is mediocrity. I saw mediocrity from that quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were healthy, I saw mediocrity. Shane Bushel is more of a protector of the ball, but he's not as dynamic on the run. Sam Ellinger thinks he's Brett Favre. He's a long way from Brett Favre. He's made some of the most critical errors in the red zone, and he's cost them games at crunch time. Tom, finally at the end, after the smoke had cleared, you guys had peppered him with questions. He said, well, you keep making the same mistakes over and over. You have to look at why it's happening, which was basically him saying maybe Sam Ehlinger isn't the answer. I don't think that either one of these quarterbacks is a program changer.
They don't look big time.
They don't. And high school All-American accolades notwithstanding, this is big boy football. And what I saw for 12 games was mediocre play from the quarterback position. And the offensive line injuries were there. Beck was hurt at tight end. They couldn't run the football. But in the most important position in all of sports, quarterback, you can't be mediocre at that position and win in a conference that is known for big-time offense.
Well, you're almost the only school without a really good quarterback. Are you not, Brian?
Right. I mean, you know, the way it shakes out. I mean, I looked at the conference's top passers. You know, this was also in this week's Why Is It Texas mailbag. Both Bushell and Ehlinger had one of the lowest yards per completion figures of any starter in the Big 12.
Right.
And that's a problem. Baker
wins, what, one game? And Charlie Brewer looked pretty good. You could argue they even looked better at the position than Texas does.
I'm going to tell you, I think Baylor football is excited because they have a quarterback. A potential good young quarterback.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
No, we don't.
At Texas. And with all the guys leaving, the juniors, Duck, you call it a rush to the door. Connor Williams gone. Malik Jefferson says he hasn't made his decision.
Chris Warren.
He's leaving. Chris Warren gone. Holton Hill may be gone. Deshaun Elliott, a Thorpe Award finalist, he's not going to top that. He's probably going to go. This is Charlie Strong's first season all over again. A mass exodus of good defensive players, an All-American tackle, that's the difference, and no quarterback. That is the same formula that made Charlie go 6-7.
How bad would that look if this becomes a mass exodus, Brian?
Well, perception's everything, and that to me that's Herman's real issue, is that it's the perception that people want out, right? Whether that is indeed the case or not, you know. We can all have our own ideas on why people are wanting to leave. But here's the thing about it. You know, you have a head coach who is known for being a very demanding taskmaster internally, right? You know, soggy pancakes and burnt hot dogs for everybody, right? Okay, all that stuff. If you're doing all of that and you're not getting results on the scoreboard, you're probably going to come to resent it at a certain point, you know, because the players are going to ask themselves, why are we doing all this and why are we being treated this way and we're not seeing a tangible result on Saturday?
That's a big time concern if I was a player. And one thing I haven't heard Tom say all year, my fault.
Yeah.
My bad.
He's not Mr. Humble.
He's not exactly Mr. Humble. I can remember Mac would lose a game. What happened, Mac? I don't know. My fault.
I know.
It's all my fault. I didn't have us rating.
Well, he did say, I don't know, some when Brian asked him about offense next year. And he said, I don't know, because we don't know who our key pieces are. And
well,
that's a concern.
I asked him specifically, how can this team look so good against West Virginia 1 week ago and then 1 week later so this? You know, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. And you know, here's the thing about it. Longhorn Network is a blessing and a curse. Every fan, every Texas fan now gets to watch these press conferences, right?
And they listen to our questions.
Absolutely. They listen to they judge our questions.
Of course
they
do. But bring it on. We're good with that.
It's totally fine with that. But when you have fans seeing the head coach sitting there looking as shell-shocked as Herman did and saying, I don't know. I mean, again, perception's reality. That's a problem, I think.
Okay, maybe he's being honest. He doesn't know.
He's paid $5.25 million to know the answers.
Would we rather, and would fans rather him say, well, I tell you what, Brian, this is the reason we look good against West Virginia and not this. We're not very good. Our personnel is not very good. Our talent's very good. It's a tricky thing with a coach.
Or just come out and say the West Virginia quarterback broke his finger.
Well, that's too honest. That's way too honest.
Okay,
what would our conversations be like had that not happened?
But think about this, Kirk. At least Charlie was very upfront about, you know, I know this is not the standard. We've got to keep getting better. Five, you know, we'll never lose five losses again. But and then they lose seven, right?
Yeah.
So
that's not five.
Well, exactly. So, but at least Charlie knew that as the head coach, he was the one who had to fall on the sword, take accountability, and the buck stopped with him.
And he was a standard bearer.
Yes.
And he didn't mind embracing the expectations that come with that job. And I think that Tom Herman also embraces the expectations, but I do believe in my heart of hearts that this is way tougher than he could have
ever imagined.
I think he thought he would ride in here on a white horse
sure.
and go 8-4, 9-3 the first season and then be competing for a Big 12 title in his second season.
Partly they don't understand the situation, how political it is, how invested the fans are. And to me, the Texas Longhorns are the Dallas Cowboys of if not college football, at least in this state.
Right.
And there's so many alumni, you know, that have gone to the University of Texas. You know, and I don't know if he, you know, kind of, I'm not saying he's a fish out of water, but if I was curious if he had a do-over, what do you guys think he would have done over? So, all right, season starts tomorrow against Maryland, and he knows this could happen. What would he have done differently, you think?
Oh, I think the answer to that would be taking a different defensive approach to Maryland, because I really do think that the Maryland loss – If he could get a mulligan on that and get a Maryland win, that would just sort of reshape the whole narrative.
Yeah, but you would say, okay, he would win the game. But
right. See,
if he could win the game or win USC game. But.
And I hate to keep going back to this. It's Charlie Strong all over again.
Right.
If Charlie Strong could have beaten UCLA at Jerry World.
Sure.
They needed that signature win. If Duke Thomas doesn't bite on that fake, they win that game. They beat a ranked team.
Right.
And they just never got going.
And that's why the signature win over West Virginia carries the asterisk, because Will Greer broke his finger in the first quarter.
That's a signature
win. That's as close as he's gotten, unless you say Kansas State.
USC.
Iowa State.
USC, another one they got away. They had so many chances.
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh at our preseason predictions, but if they had just been a little bit clutch, they won eight games this year.
Oh, just a little bit. You're exactly right. You know, and, you know, a lot of this comes down to offense. We've been talking a little bit about the offense. So how excruciating was that 3rd-and-2 call that Sam Ehlinger throws a pass, intercepted, 55-yard return to the 16, Tech scores and wins the game. Now, he has said his staff's intact. He knows who they are. He knows what he has. I'm not going to make any changes. So does he stand by his offensive coordinator, Tim Beck, and the rest of the staff?
Okay, first of all, you guys were at the game. I was watching from home. When I saw that play, do you know the thought that went through my head? One of his first quotes, Tom Herman goes, "You never hear a winning coach say we out-finessed him."
Mm-hmm.
He came in here talking about toughness, physicality, winning at the point of attack, and there he is in the shotgun. In the red zone, throwing the football.
Both examples, right?
Both
two
examples.
First downs at the 1 and the 3rd-and-2.
Went against all of those principles in that game.
But the thing about to me that is far more disturbing than the interception. Well, yeah, that was a bad play. Don't get me wrong, but that is a coaching philosophy situation. That is not Sam Ehlinger throwing across his body to get an interception to go 55 yards the other way. That is why did you as a staff go with a shotgun formation on 3rd-and-2 from the Tech 37-ish yard line, two plus minutes to go? That is solely 100% on coaching. You run the ball twice. You got the Ray guy finalist as the punter to pin him deep. Maybe he catches it on the fly at the 2. Honestly, I don't put that on Sam at all. I mean, yes, the players have to execute, but no.
The play was called.
100%. Yeah, the play was called.
And
you did that.
I love the fact that after the game, you ask him.
That was the first question out of the game.
What are you doing? Why are you passing on 3rd-and-2?
Yes.
Why are you passing?
You can't overstate how big that play was. I'm not saying it's a Craig Curry play, the fumbled punt against Georgia that cost Texas a national championship.
No, but that's a season defining
play.
Season definer.
Because we both think, all three of us think, if he runs the ball and doesn't make the first down punts, they use up their first down, their timeouts. I mean, He's probably going to win that game, go 7-5, got a chance to go 8-5. Everything changes.
They're gonna, progress. They're going to take that. They're going to get two shots at that.
Too. Yes, not definitely.
Just, yeah, they're going to go on fourth down on that.
You know, so to win, I mean, the game. It changes. He has a 3-game win streak. He's 7-5. He gets a better bowl game. He helps gets recruiting
practices.
But now you have every question. So, do you two think Tim Beck will be back in 2018?
My feeling is that if I'm Tom Herman, I'm looking at all these head coaches who have become available, and I look at all these assistants that are now looking for their next job. Mm-hmm. If I see somebody that I like, I go to Perrin and I pull the trigger, because I don't think Mike Perrin is going to block anything. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, though. Tom knows that all of the shuffling is one of the things that eventually sunk Charlie,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think Tom would rather eat crow at the next press conference and say, hey, you know, I felt like we needed to make a change, then stick with a guy that, let's be honest, the public perception is that Tim Beck needs to go. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's the public perception.
But he's already said he expects his staff to be back intact.
And that's what I'm saying. He'd rather come eat crow at a press conference.
So you think it's 50-50 he makes a change at offensive coordinator?
I think he's got to be thinking about it at least.
Got to be thinking about
Why wouldn't he be thinking about it?
Well, because he's stubborn.
He's stubborn. He's
very stubborn.
But you know what? I would rather be wrong about something and get it right on the next
Absolutely.
One than be wrong twice. You can't let Tim Beck beat you twice. You can't do that, times. Dog.
Well, okay, here's something else, too. Remember, people aren't really talking about this, but remember, Drew Maringer is a Herman disciple as well.
And his receivers did not
do very well at all.
They didn't.
Part of that, Armani Foreman's disciplinary, I don't know what it was,
right?
But Armani Foreman didn't get as many reps as he should have gotten.
No, exactly.
As good as he is. No, and I think that came from the top of the food chain.
Well, I do
yes,
too.
That was not a Drew Maringer call. That was a Tom Herman call.
No way.
But what I'm saying is that, remember, Maringer was the play caller and OC at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. I think Herman, from a, you know, I want to grow my coaching tree, would like to see Maringer, you know, thrive on this staff. I still don't think I would not install him as OC, but
oh God, no.
That's something that
he's not ready.
That's just something that's, you know, you keep an eye on.
That wouldn't be well received, I think. So we're talking about Tim Beck, Shane Buechele. What does he do? He played one series in the final game, threw two passes, 2 for 2, played two series against West Virginia, played next to nothing the last two games. Do you think he could leave?
Well, don't shortchange him, Kirk. He completed 3 passes. Now, one was negated by a penalty, but he did complete 3 passes.
If it didn't happen, it didn't happen.
Here's the thing. If I'm Shane Buechele, okay, clearly the game plan was manipulated the last two games to keep me interested, right?
Seemed that way.
It certainly seemed that way. Shane played the first two possessions against West Virginia, did totally fine. I thought he was fine, but then he was benched. We never saw him again. And then he played one drive where they basically went 3 and out against Tech. If that was designed to keep me here, that would make me leave more than anything else. That's how you're going to play me, coach? I mean, come on. I think he's earned a little more respect than that. The thing about it is we know that Herman really loves Ellinger, which is totally fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if that's your guy, don't do this bogus rotation. Put Sam out there from the get-go, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, it seemed like a token, you know, series that he got. So, do you think he wants him back, Shane Buechele? That is,
I think he should want him back from a depth perspective
standpoint.
I think he needs to keep him.
Right.
The problem is, and we talk about this season and where this program is headed, is that here we are at the end of year one. And me metaphorically pounding the table, Herman doesn't know who his quarterback of the future is. He just doesn't.
Right.
Right.
He doesn't.
That to me is the real main problem. You don't know what you have in Sam and Shane, but you got two other freshmen coming in. Basically, the position battle is reset in my mind.
I agree with that. And, right? You know, there's talk about Cameron Rising. Now that Chip Kelly's at UCLA, you know, and Cameron Rising's a California kid. Would Chip Kelly try to turn Cameron Rising's head and make him a Bruin?
Well, I mean,
all's fair, right?
All's fair, absolutely. You know, the Horns lost out on So-So Jumabo, and they also would have lost on Chris Warren if the coin had gone the other way.
Hey, went to Washington. Right?
So it's not unheard of that UCLA would steal the cookies from the Texas cookie jar.
Right, that would hurt. Boy, if he lost Shane Buechele and recruit Cameron Rising, He'd almost have to have a grad transfer or something, wouldn't he?
Somewhere Charlie would be going, whoo, hee, ah, okay.
And then the last thing for me on football is like, is this team going to be any better in 2018? Can you make an argument that it may be the same or worse?
I think it could be the same because of who they're going to lose on defense.
Could be a ton.
Could be a ton. And then the offensive line is not going to be dramatically better.
They're older, but is that a guarantee they're better?
No.
Well, they're going to lose Connor Williams. Kerstetter will have a year under his belt, but they're losing Jake McMillan. They're losing Terrell Cooney. Here's the thing about those guys. Look, those guys, that's not Mark Stepnoski out there. I'll grant you that, okay? But those are guys who started this year, and Texas is watching starters walk away. They watched Brandon Hodges just up and walk away.
Gene DeLance.
Right? Gene DeLance could have helped. Getting Patrick Hudson back will help, I think. Getting
Elijah Rodriguez.
Rodriguez and your Quidez back.
Right.
Right? So there's three guys.
Right.
But still, I mean, the amount of offensive linemen that have been chased away or have left is staggering.
They lose some good receivers, too. Armani Foreman, Lorenzo Joe, Dorian Leonard. Colin Johnson did not have a good year.
No.
You know, and so Gerard Hurd hadn't been used very much. Devin Duvernay, you know, now they got some good receivers coming in. Brennan Eagles is a top recruit. But I don't know. Like you say, there's no, you know, if Malik leaves and Puna Ford's a senior and if Deshaun Elliott and Holton Hill leave, I tell you what, it could be tough to sell season tickets in the off season.
It'll be really tough. And you got an angry fan base and you got a coach who's up against it early, just like right. Charlie.
And absolutely. They could have a losing season if they lose their bowl game.
Well, BD, before we let you go, Texas basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be Duke? Should it be Gonzaga? They still can't shoot.
Still can't shoot. Still rank last in the Big 12 in three-point shooting. That's where they were last year. You know, maybe I've got an IV of the Kool-Aid. I don't know. But I do think this team is better.
They are.
I do think they're better. I think they're going to be far more competitive. I don't know that they're going to be able to win the Big 12 like I thought they would compete for it. But a team that can win the Big 12 pulls out that Duke game, probably. A team that can win the Big 12 probably beats Gonzaga, you know, not handily, but comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so they got more growing to do. I think the game next week at VCU is going to be a big-time,
nice.
Big-time road test. And I also think the Michigan game while it's a great brand name coming to the Irwin Center, old John Boeheim, man, he knows what he's doing too. And
yes.
So we'll see what they got here later this
definitely
month.
Definitely a game Texas needs to win. What would you say Shaka really wants to do between now and December 29th when they open conference play against Kansas here in Austin?
I would say two things. Number one is find someone to get a more confident three-point shot, right?
Jace.
Who you think that might be?
Could be Febres. Yeah, it could be Febres.
He didn't play much recently, has he?
Didn't play as much as I thought he might in Portland. And then number two is, I think he would really want to – he's used the carrot with Mo Bamba. I think it's time for the stick. If you're going to be a top three pick in the 2018 NBA draft, my man, it's time to show it.
It's time to start putting up some 20
yes,
and 15.
Mm-hmm. It's time to show
right,
it.
Right. Give him some tough love maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, BD, we appreciate you joining us. He will be at the gym – mm-hmm. in the paper.
All over the place.
But he's counting the days till that bowl game, I promise you.
Counting
that.
The days.
He wants that bowl swag.
You know what? I don't really care when the bowl starts. I just want to know when it's going to be over.
Well, you know what? When Missouri and Texas meet in Houston.
Ooh, that's big.
I don't know what's bigger than that.
It doesn't get
oh, that's right. Arkansas and Texas and get only 50-some-odd yard total yards.
What about Aggie, Texas?
I don't know. He decided doesn't want to play, do they?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't want to see him in this state.
No.
I don't think the SEC would slot him in against Texas either. So.
Well, BD, thanks for joining us, brother, and we will see you at the gym.
Appreciate it.
Great moment in the history of our podcast, a revisit.
Yeah.
Remember, our first podcast, was it Dennis Dodd?
He was very early. Oh, in Dallas
our first road
the
trip.
Media. That's right.
Our first road trip to Big 12 Media Day 2 years ago was Dennis Dodd, and here he is, folks. Joining us via phone. I got to ask you, I was watching television the other day. And I was watching the CBS network, and it was halftime, and I looked in the studio.
Yeah?
And
who'd you see?
What, to my wondering eyes, should appear but a miniature sleigh and Dennis Dodd on my TV screen.
He's everywhere, I'm telling you.
When did you start doing television, bro?
On CBS Sports Network, I started about 3 years ago. A few times a year, not every week, obviously, but I mean that, you know, I'm surprised they're still on there with me having been on there. And 2 years later, after being the inaugural Titanic guest, I guess miracles do happen. That's great.
Man, we're glad to have you with us. Man, this is the hot time in college football, as we all know. CFP rankings came out, the final ones before the selection Sunday. Any surprises jump out at you, or did it pretty much go according to form, Dennis?
No, those four look like, I mean, Kirby Hoke had basically said if they all win, they're in.
Right.
And it looks like chalk to me in the games, I guess. But nobody asked the question. I'm going to write about it this week. They all lose. I mean, obviously, a couple of those are placeholders. Miami would, you know, be in front of Clemson. Georgia would be in front of Auburn. But what if Wisconsin loses? What if Oklahoma loses? I mean, then the committee's going to have to contemplate putting two teams from one conference in, and I think we know what that conference is.
Oh. Let me think. Let me guess. Let me see.
What's the definition of insanity? Hey, man, let me ask you this. Just weird this time of year, does not see Alabama in the top four. They're at five. If somehow the Crimson Tide is on the outside looking in, is that the little push the CFP and NCAA will need to make this thing an 18 playoff, which is my fervent hope?
Yeah, no, with Alabama out, I think even Alabama would understand why they'd be left out. I think it starts to unravel when, you know, the Big Ten and or the SEC don't have a seat at the table. I mean, they're going to be in. For the first time, it looks like Alabama might not be in, but the SEC will be in. And look, they didn't win their division. They were 11-1. Their schedule wasn't the best. Unless a couple of things happen, they won't be in the discussion. This team wasn't as good as the last 2 years. I saw it up close a couple of times, and they're just not as good. I thought Jalen Hurts was good, and he improved a lot this year as a sophomore, but they just don't, the offensive line isn't there, the dominating defensive line, and I think you saw that in a real smash-mouth game Saturday against Auburn.
No, you're exactly right. They're not as good. It's not a vintage Alabama team. You're right, Dennis. But if we do see, maybe not chaos, like you say, all of the top four lose, but if one loses, and most likely it's Wisconsin or OU, or if one of them loses, is the primary beneficiary going to be Alabama, or do you think it might be one of the losers in these conference title games?
Well, if Ohio State, well, you're saying if, now I'm confused, if Ohio State wins?
Yeah, if Ohio State wins or TCU wins or Miami wins, you know, I would think Clemson would be the biggest beneficiary. If Miami beat them, Clemson's still got a good chance to get in, don't they?
That's right. They're number one, and then the committee, unless it's a blowout by Miami, which I don't think it will be,
right,
has to, you know, entertain is still one of the four best teams in the country, and you can make that case. I mean, you can make that case for Alabama, wrapping up that side of it. They were number one for most of the year,
right,
and didn't waver except for a couple of weeks with Georgia. So, yeah, I think that, you know, again, the most likely scenario is two SECs in that in that discussion, but it could be two ACCs. So, you know, and then, look, if Ohio State isn't automatic, if they beat Wisconsin, I mean, you're looking at a team that lost by 46 combined points, that probably has the worst loss of anybody there in the top five.
Oh, amen.
You know, 31 points with a very mediocre Iowa team, you know, and got run out of the building in the second half by Oklahoma. What do you do with that team that's given up 30% of its total yards in two losses.
Yeah, I agree. I think they would need a 59-0 score like got them in a couple of years ago. I think Ohio State, I don't know how you feel, Cedric, they may be the least qualified of like the top six or seven or eight.
No team that gave up 55 points to Iowa should ever even considered. And you could play Iowa three times and not give up 55 points the way they've scored this year.
Exactly.
I saw an Ohio State team that quit.
Oh, yeah. They left
Iowa
out of
City.
That one.
They quit.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to see them anywhere near the top four.
And how about TCU? I mean, they're ranked 11th. They're pretty low, you know, going into this final weekend at 11th. How would you assess their prospects of getting in if they can upset Oklahoma, Dennis?
Yeah, their two losses would be to Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Right.
They would beat a top four team, Oklahoma. I kind of have a cutoff for me after looking at that top 25, right at 8, I think, where Ohio State was.
Right.
And Penn State was number 9. But I think you've got to give a long shot chance to TCU and USC, I think, is at 11. TCU's at 11, and USC's maybe at 12
right.
or 13.
Right.
So I think you've just got to give, you know, you've got to give them a shot. Because you got to play a game. You got to see what the margin of victory. You got to see what the injuries are.
Sure.
You know, there's some quarterbacks. You know, look at Auburn this week. If they don't have Kerryon Johnson, I'm sorry.
That's really
going to cut into their chances of winning. He's
I
the
agree.
Best player. He's the SEC's best offensive player.
I
suspect he'll go out there and try to give it a go at 80% or whatever he is.
Yeah, I like Georgia's chances. I think they're sitting here, you know, smoldering after that big loss to Auburn and, you know, got together and just crushed Georgia Tech. I think they're sitting there, hey, we got a second chance here. I like Georgia's chances.
I like Georgia's chances in a revenge game on a neutral field, which will be a tremendous home field advantage for them because Atlanta's so close to Athens.
Absolutely.
You know, The East hasn't won this game since 2008, but, you know, this is different. I still think Auburn's the best team in the country. I had them number one this week.
I really like
Auburn.
I did, too. You beat number one twice in 3 weeks here. I think you deserve to be number one.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, Dennis, I know you're really busy. With these coaching searches is always you're one of our national friends. We don't envy you this week because – there's just musical chairs in the coaching profession.
What a carousel.
Jimbo Fisher, the word is that he might be going to Texas A&M. Why isn't he just gone? Why is he sticking around if he's going to take that job?
I can't tell you. I think, you know, this is now the third year in a row Jimbo Fisher has played footsie with a job that is below what he's got or just about even. I don't know where you put LSU or
right.
Texas A&M. There was a story in the Tallahassee Democrat about him not getting along with some administrators. And this may just be a Mike Gundy play where he wants something, whether it's money or facilities or something else, and this is his play to get that. I think this is totally up to Jimbo. Would Texas A&M him? Yes, but he might wake up tomorrow and say, you know, I'm good. That's a better place to win championships. He's divorced. His family is there. His son, who has a rare blood disorder, is there. And he might just, you know, come to his senses and say that. Because I said this from the beginning with A&M. Whoever goes there has to look how they treated the last guy. Whether you liked or didn't like having someone as a coach.
He had a pretty good record.
Being, he certainly didn't. Yeah, he had a pretty good record, and he didn't deserve to be that way. He had the best record at A&M in the last 20 years.
So if he does come to his senses and realize he's at a top five program or top 10 at the very least, even with this rare offseason, what's plan B for the Aggies? Are you hearing anything out there in the brush that, you know, would they go back after Chad Morris? Would they look at Justin Fuente? You know,
yeah.
What do you think they would do?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's all kind of circling around Jimbo right now, what he does. And if he stays, are they in the same boat chasing the same candidates as Tennessee, which is now toxic. The job itself is toxic. I just told you about A&M. Tennessee's just toxic. I mean, there are guys that flat out won't even go near it.
Wow.
Because you're gonna be vetted by Bubba and Pigeon Forge. You know, that fans are on the search committee now. That was reprehensible what happened Sunday. But
yeah,
really. I mean, I guess Chad Morris doesn't do it for me. He hasn't done enough at SMU to go to A&M.
Right, right.
Yeah, to go to Arkansas, sure.
Yeah.
Mike Norvell's gonna have a really, really good off season because he's either going to get a monster raise or get a new job or go to Arkansas, one of those type of guys. And I'm not saying Mike Leach is going to Texas A&M, but Leach might be a fallback if somehow, upset of upset, Scott Frost doesn't go to Nebraska.
Ooh, Mike Leach back in the state of Texas. How entertaining would that be, Cedric?
I love Mike Leach, and the thing I love most about him is he doesn't have voicemail. But you can just call him,
right.
And then you'll get a call back at like 2:30 in the morning.
Who is this?
Oh, hey, Coach Leach. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm asleep, Coach. What are you doing? I just saw you call. Yeah, this morning.
Oh, my God. It's just crazy. I mean, and it gets crazier. And then we, in our own backyard here, Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State, you know, visiting with Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then decides to stay at Stillwater. Why was he flirting with Tennessee? Was he just wanting some love from fans that wonder why he can't beat Oklahoma?
I think it is. I think he wanted to make, you know, just to remind T. Boone and Mike Holder, who's boss, or to pump up his ego. I mean, pick those or all of them. I don't know. When this originally started, I said, he will not go to Tennessee. He won't. They apparently met. They apparently offered him $42 million for 7 years. I said, I'll believe it, see it, because I've said for years now that Mike Gundy will retire to his ranch near Stillwater but before he goes to another school, unless he goes, you know, 2-10 for 3 straight years and gets fired.
Sure,
and
sure.
And he won't. He's
tailor-made for that school. There's no reason for him to
absolutely leave.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it was so weird, Dennis. T-Bone tweeted a nice note that he sent to Mike Gundy after that 62-52 loss to the Sooners. He's like, hey, I'm so proud of
the
team.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah, and he's a friend of the program. And some things he said to us on our podcast got him in a little bit of hot water with the locals. So, I just don't understand Mike Gundy's reasons for doing that. Made no sense.
Then you look at like an Arizona State, you hear Herm Edwards' name, you hear Mac Brown's name, Kevin Sumlin. What's going on at Arizona State?
Yeah. What a disaster that they're even considering Edwards. I mean, he's a fine, as a head coach at Arizona State, he's a fine analyst at ESPN, let's put it that way.
Right.
He hasn't coached in college in 30 years.
Well, what is 30 that?
Years.
What is that about?
And,
I mean, just
and what was it? And his rationale on recruiting is he travels 6,000 miles a year. Well, I travel 6,000 miles a year. Can I recruit?
I have heard your name in the hopper. I heard your name has come up, Dennis.
I would be interested, though. But,
hey, I think they're going to hire Herman.
He's not qualified.
Yeah.
No,
he's not qualified.
But if they hire Herman Edwards, he could hire Joe Pisarcik as his assistant coach, and they could just fumble together, because that's the only reason anyone even remembers Herman Edwards is the fumble.
And it looks like Mac Brown's still interested. Do you see any way Mac Brown gets another coaching job, Dennis?
Well, he's definitely interested, I'll tell you that. I talked to him this week.
Right.
And he's definitely interested. But you know what? So is Les Miles. So is Houston Nutt. So is Rick Neuheisel. There may be something out there for Mac. I was surprised. I was reminded that he's 66. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, 66, yeah.
You know. But there's something out there for him. You know, one of these jobs ought to consider a bridge coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tennessee ought to consider a bridge coach because it's really slipping underwater.
Yeah, and Mac,
who else is out there?
Mac Brown is from Cookeville, Tennessee. So
and he probably hasn't been back in 40 years.
And Rick Barnes is already there. He's already got the welcoming party. So
and Rick Barnes, put the band back together.
Get Augie Garrido to coach a baseball team. Let's just do that.
But you don't hear Les Miles' name really come up for any of these, do you, Dennis?
No, you don't. And that's unfortunate. He's 63, the winningest coach coach in LSU history, has a national championship under his belt, and his name has not come up in any of this. I think that's tragic because I think he's a really good coach. And if the worst thing you can say about him is he's quirky and he has problems recruiting quarterbacks, well, mm-hmm. I can think of a lot worse things about some of the candidates that are out there right now.
Amen.
Man, I went to lunch with him during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And in Baton Rouge, he's a god there. He couldn't eat. He was taking selfies. He was signing autographs. He was doing this and that. And, you know, if there's any animosity towards him there, it's not evident. He should be coaching, I think.
So. I'd love to see A&M hire him if it doesn't work out with Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, he's won a national championship. He recruits. He plays good defense. And he's a veteran coach. And I think something like that would be outstanding. So,
back to Arizona State real quick, hire someone, get it over with. I think that's a great hire.
Wow, I think so too.
Yeah. Well, before we leave, any other wild prediction you have? Who's your national champion this year? You got a national champion?
I have to know who's in right now. But if if Auburn wins, then I'm going to stick with them. They're playing better than anybody. Clemson looks like they could could back up their championship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested to see how OU does against some of these elite defenses.
Yeah,
because
me too.
When everybody was making fun, they were making fun of 62-52.
Right.
I was sitting there going, I would love to see them play Alabama right now.
No, I would too.
I don't think they could hold them down either. And I think, this could be another show, but the Big 12 routinely lets the national narrative get away from them while everybody on TV and radio is ripping the results of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Danny Etling at LSU basically pass the game away against Alabama. LSU wasn't going to win the game, but if he had hit two or three open receivers who were wide open, then it's a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. So, you know, how bad is that? Let's talk about that, as long as we're going to talk about OU's defense.
Well, and you're right about Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield in the national championship game. Oh, my God. You imagine Baker on that stage?
Awesome.
You know, he may just freak out. He's just so excitable. I tell you, no telling what he might do, right?
I don't know what he'd grab if he was up on
He's grabbed everything up to this point.
Yes, he is. So, hey, man, great to be with you. A pleasure to have you on the show again. I hope you'll come back, and look forward to seeing you down the road in the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's an honor being on, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Dennis.
Take care, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
It is time for some tackle football picks. Oh, I'm going to murder you this week. You know, we are back. We didn't make picks last week because there wasn't a podcast.
We were on
a
holiday.
We were on a little holiday. But for those who were with us 2 weeks ago, we're going to start out in college. Duck went 2-3, and now he's 24-20. I went 3-2, and I'm one game behind him. Gonna catch him this week.
Still behind.
So we're gonna pick the conference title games and a game of our choice. Duckster, you go first.
Well, I like USC in the Pac-12 championship. They were on a bye. Their season was already finished last week when Stanford was playing. Stanford, I'm afraid, may be a little beat up. Bryce Love is tremendous, but he may be a little beat up. I'm going to take USC and give 4 points.
Stupid. I'm going Stanford +4 to win the Pac-12 championship. Let's move to the ACC. I'm going to go ahead and take the Miami Hurricanes. I know Clemson's really good, and I like Kelly Bryant. I'm going Miami +9.5.
I'm taking Clemson given the points. I think they're going to come out and make a statement.
Big Ten Championship, Wisconsin versus Ohio State. The Badgers haven't lost all year. They're not about to lose now. Ohio State's been up and down. Give me Badger +6.5.
I like the Badgers, too. It's probably the only unbeaten team with a chip on its shoulder.
I know.
Nobody respects the Badgers, so they'll have something to prove.
They're going
to
get some respect this week. SEC title game, big one, Auburn v. Georgia. I'm going to go War Eagle minus 2.5.
I like the upset here. Georgia had a beatdown by the War Eagles. They just kind of sitting back. They got a second chance at life. I like the running game, Georgia, plus 2.5.
And you know what? Let's start finish it out. The conference title games, the Big 12, Oklahoma, 7-point favorite over TCU at Jerry World. I will be there. Baker Mayfield cements his Heisman Trophy candidacy with another big win. OU minus 7 over the little general and TCU.
OU's on a mission. They're also on a roll. I'm not betting against the Sooners this stage.
And there aren't that many games, but I'm going Georgia Southern minus 2.5 over Coastal Carolina, which nearly beat Arkansas. But that only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I'm going to take Memphis to derail unbeaten Central Florida. Memphis plus 7.5.
All right, dog. All right, let's move over to the pros, where I am just utterly dominant at this point. A couple of weeks ago, I went 5-0 in the pros.
How'd you do that?
Because I use mathematics.
I use that dartboard I gave you for Christmas.
I'm 30-18. You went 2-3, two games under 500 at 23-25. The Dallas Cowboys playing the Washington Redskins tonight at Jerry World. Give me the Skins, a better team, a little banged up, but they have the better quarterback, and there's no Zeke.
Are the Cowboys playing out the string, you think?
Yeah, I think they're done.
I mean, gosh, I mean, Jerry's just beside himself. Yeah, I like Washington, too. I'm surprised Dallas is favored in this game. What do you make of that?
Home field advantage.
Yeah, but they've been pitiful. They got one touchdown without Zeke in three games.
If the Redskins can go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, I'm picking them to beat the Dallas Cowboys
too.
And Dak Prescott.
I'm right there with you.
Houston plus 6.5 over Tennessee. I'm going with the Texans on the road.
Plus 6.5. Speaking of mailing it in, Tom Savage is just a turnover machine. You know he leads the NFL and lost fumbles with 7. He's had 5 starts and has 7 fumbles and leads the league.
He's consistent.
That's ineptitude. Give me Tennessee minus 6.5.
I think Andy Reid really needs a win to halt that dumpster fire in Kansas City. They've lost 5 out of their last 6. Give me the Chiefs minus 3 at the Jets.
I kind of like that pick. I think they've been beaten down so much, it's time for them to turn it around. I like New Orleans, a team that's kind of transformed itself from Drew Brees, pass ever down, to a great running attack with that great tandem they have. I like the Saints giving 4 to Carolina.
Very nice. Good defense. Philadelphia at Seattle. Usually, if the Legion of Boom is intact, that's an easy pick. But this is the best offense in football and the best young quarterback in football. No Cam Chancellor, no Richard Sherman.
No chance.
Give me Philly minus 6 at Seattle.
I like that. The Rams are one of the big surprise teams. Everybody in St. Louis is going, what? They didn't play this way when they were in St. Louis. Arizona offense is punchless. Give me the Rams minus a touchdown.
Oakland over the New York Giants by 7. Eli Manning is benched. It's not his fault what's gone on in the Big Apple. Heads are going to roll. I feel bad for Eli. I don't think that Geno Smith is going to outduel Derek Carr, even though Michael Crabtree is going to be missing. Give me Oakland minus 7 over the Giants.
Let me ask you before I make my last pick. Do you blame Ben McAdoo for benching Eli when they've got nothing to play for? They're 2-9. What do you think? Was it bad form?
I think it's bad form. I think the season's over in New York. You let Eli, a two-time Super Bowl champion and a guy who may be in the Hall of Fame, you let him finish.
But why shouldn't you learn something about your team? Are they already deciding Eli is not their guy next season?
Well, we know what we already know about Geno Smith. Why Geno Smith?
Exactly.
Davis Webb.
Why not Davis Webb?
You start Davis Webb, I don't have a problem with that.
Do you think they'll play Eli again this year?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Because they're a horrible
team. This is how bad that franchise is. Why didn't you trade Eli? Your team was already in the dumpster.
It's a good
question.
They
should have traded him. So my last pick, I like Minnesota and Mike Zimmer. I don't know. He could be coach of the year if it's not Doug Peterson in Philly. But I like what he's done. Case Keenum has been just terrific. Maybe the most underrated quarterback in the league.
Absolutely.
Vikings plus 3 against your bird.
Cow, cow.
that will do it for episode 81 of On Second Thought. We got to thank CBSSports.com columnist Dennis Dodd and our very own Brian Davis for joining us this week. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.